Hi, welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, August 24th. I'm Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill Buckmaster. Just a reminder, if you miss a portion of the show, you can always find it on Bill's website, buckmastershow.com. It's Friday, and of course, that means it's time for the Friday Focus. I'm joined in the studio by Mark B. Evans, the administrator of TucsonCitizen.com. He's a frequent contributor to the Buckmaster Show, and we're glad to have him with us today. Today, we'll talk with Mike Varney, president and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber, which is the largest business organization in Tucson and southern Arizona. But first, this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Learn more about Splendido over breakfast at the Tucson Hilton East on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30. RSVP to 762-4090 and tell them you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show. Mike, thanks very much for coming to the station.
Good to be with you. Thank you very much, Sarah.
I wanted to kind of start off with, I don't know if it's an easy question, but you've been in your job for about a year, and I'm interested in your impressions as someone new to the area and then also someone who is in a leadership position, what you have found over the course of the year.
Sure. I'm often asked the question, what's your biggest surprise? And I think that coming from the outside from Las Vegas about not quite a year and a half ago, came in with just a totally blank canvas, didn't know all that many people day one, and had done a little bit of homework about the community. And certainly, it's a wonderful, beautiful community that we have here in southern Arizona. But what strikes me, as somebody who still has a little bit of an outside perspective, is that we're so far short of our potential here in southern Arizona. There's so much more that we can be as a community. There's so much more that we can do to create a more vibrant economy here. There's so much more that we can do in all of the vital areas of our community, community development, education and workforce, to get our governments to work together for the common good of citizens. So I think my number one kind of canned answer at this point is that let's live up to our full potential here in southern Arizona and really give the community all that the University of Arizona and the business and government leaders can provide. That's really our job.
When you say let's live up to our full potential, that's something that leaders in various government, school district, business have said for a very long time. What does that actually mean?
Well, to me, I'll tell you what it means to me. It means to me that we have a number of economic opportunities to create jobs. We have a number of things that we can do in government to smooth the way, to make it easier for companies to go into business and to operate their enterprises here. The University of Arizona is, I know, taking on a major new initiative to take the technology and the other intellectual property that they develop down there and push it and infuse it into the community. That's something that a lot of other universities are making a priority to. And frankly, there are a lot of other universities that are doing a better job than we are. The good news is that the University of Arizona has made that a priority. So with their backing and all that they bring to the local economy, having them help getting making it easier to do business on the government level, and then getting our communities to work together, our townships, the city of Tucson and the county. There's so much more that we can do to coordinate things and regionalize things so that it's one-stop shopping for your business permitting instead of having to go from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Those are some of the simple, low-hanging fruit ideas that we have.
Okay, Mark.
Some of the guys on the that hang out here on KBOI in the morning do Wake Up Tucson. They put out a graphic the other day that I thought was rather surprising to me and I thought rather informative. It's used all these business magazines and all these ranking organizations, and it showed the ranks of a lot of the Phoenix metro communities, and they're ranked third, fourth, fifth in the country for this, that, and the other thing for business climate. And then it showed Tucson and Pima County ranking down towards the bottom, 40th, 50th, 60th, and the like. So it got me wondering two questions for you. One, why do you think that is? What is it about the culture of our county that we need to change that would move us up to the top of those lists? And two, is it really that bad? Can you list off a bunch of things when prospective businesses come here that you can say this is what's good about Tucson?
Well, there are a number of things that are great about Tucson. Tucson's a wonderful community. It's a beautiful community. Got great people in it. It's got all of the things that would our biggest industry being tourism. It's got all of the things that we need to continue to build tourism here. But comparing Tucson to Phoenix, which is something that I'm growing very weary of hearing about and doing, we should take the best practices that we can from wherever we can get them. If somebody else has got a better mousetrap, let's go see how that mousetrap works. And I don't care if that's Phoenix or if it's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but the comparatives about the us and them, I think sometimes just tends to create more acrimony and so forth. I will say that I have to hand it to Maricopa County and the Phoenix Metro. The culture up there seems to be much more embracing towards business, and it is a culture. It's a culture of let's embrace them and then work with business rather than let's hold business at arm's length and make them go through a lot of extra steps, which seems to be the way that we've done things here in Tucson and Pima County, Mark. So I really feel that we can do more. I've been on a listening tour here recently with city officials, township officials, the county, and so forth. And the one statistic that I picked up at the recent U of A economic forecasting event was that since August of 2010, there have been 75,000 new jobs created in the state of Arizona. 69,000 and change were created in Maricopa County, specifically the Phoenix Metro. 800 were created in Pima County and the Tucson Metro. Well, Phoenix is a little bit bigger than Tucson, about four times the size of Tucson. So those statistics are way out of whack. And all it says to me is that whatever we're doing here, we've got to do better. Because 800 jobs since August of 2010, when another community, albeit bigger, is creating 69,000 new jobs, that ought to be a message all by itself.
I wanted to ask about the comparison you brought up with, you know, everyone compares Tucson to Phoenix. But Tucson is different than Phoenix. There's a lot of people in Tucson who don't want to be Phoenix, and that's why we're in Tucson, or they're in Tucson. And I hear that a lot from students at the U of A about, oh, Tucson's so boring, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But should we be aspiring to be Phoenix? I mean, we don't have the hub airport. We don't have the same sort of business climate. Right. So how do you make—
No, we should be aspiring, Sarah, to be the best Tucson we can be. And for those who make the comparisons, there are certain constants. The laws of economics, the principles of job creation are the same across the country. And if we adopt a mindset that says that we are going to make it easy to do business here, we're going to put our people back to work, we're going to make business, free enterprise, and job creation a priority here, we can do it. But when we start to put other ancillary topics and other ancillary barricades in front of doing that, we're going to get 800 jobs while in other communities getting 69,000. So the comparisons between Tucson and Phoenix, people are free to compare whatever they want, but the laws of economics and the basics of job creations and so forth, they're the same every place. Just make it easy to do business, put our people back to work, and start jacking up that tax base so we have better schools, better parks, better roads. There's a comparison between Tucson and Phoenix, Mark. The roads here, and everybody agrees, our roads here are horrible.
One of the things that I think is the problem with Tucson is that Tucson, when you talk about make it more friendly for business, that more friendly wish tends to run smack dab into the voters. And often when we're trying to do new businesses in Tucson, we get resistance from the voters. For instance, they're trying to put a Walmart in over at the old Elkhorn, and the neighborhoods are resisting it. We're trying to build new infill 14-story towers down to the West University, and the neighborhoods are resisting it. Mm-hmm. But in the Tucson system, the neighborhoods tend to be the political heartbeats of the council members. So if they become perhaps too business-friendly, they risk cutting their own throats politically with their political base. Yeah. So is there anything the chamber can do to help those council members walk that tightrope so that they can, you know, be business friendly on the sure. say they're business friendly on the one hand and be business friendly on the other, but this sure. other time not cut themselves off from their political base and get tossed out on their ear?
Yeah, the notion that that business and neighborhoods can't coexist, and the notion that businesses, especially new businesses that represent change, are going to change the landscape or develop a piece of raw real estate or something. That's how we grow. That's how we renew. We're going to have to take a serious look at our downtown area and decide what we need to keep for historic or cultural significance, and you know, where do we want to renew, which cities across the country do. Buildings wear out just like everything else wears out. Buildings wear out over time, and when they've lived their useful life, it's time for renewal and to bring in the new in place of the old wherever possible. Going back to your question about can a business-friendly city council person make it with the voters? That's the nature of politics. Politics is an ongoing balancing of competing interests. For anybody to take a hard line and say it's my way or the highway, that we don't want any development in our neighborhood, well, that's a little narrow and it's a little short-sighted and frankly unrealistic. Your neighborhood is always going to morph and evolve and change. So it's not a question of whether it will, it's just how will we do that? And I think that what we need to work towards is a little bit more cooperation. We're very polarized across the country, frankly. And there's this notion that it either has to be A or B and that there's nothing in between A and B. And I think that the more we talk to each other and the more we realize that we can work together and we can create a better community, the better that will be. It all starts with good communication, but it is a balancing act of competing interests for sure.
I wanted to, we have to go for a break soon, but I wanted to ask you about the difference between the different jobs and roles and positions and memberships of, we have the Tucson Metro Chamber, we sure. have GLBT Chamber, Hispanic Chamber, TRIO. And so that's something I would like to come back to sure. when we come back for the break.
My pleasure.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill. And we were talking with Mike Varney, the CEO and president of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Before the break, we were talking briefly about the seemingly bazillion different economic development groups, agencies, offices. We have TRIO, we have public-private partnerships, we have a zillion of them. So, is this helpful to our region? Is this – what should we be doing from your point of view?
Yeah, we've got a phrase, Sarah, in among chamber people across the country. If you've seen one chamber, you've seen one chamber. There's nothing – there's no standard, there's no metric that says to call yourself a chamber of commerce, you must do X, Y, and Z. Any organization that wants to, any private business that wants to can call itself – a chamber of commerce. And because of that, there are a lot of groups that if they didn't call themselves a chamber of commerce, they might call themselves something else. So when you look at the 9 different chambers right here in our metro area, some are geographically centered to super serve a geographic aspect or geographic location in our community, the Oro Valley Chamber, for example, or Marana Chamber, for example. The Hispanic Chamber, GLBT Chamber, the Green Chamber. Some people could say, well, they really have a narrower focus. There's a certain segment of our business population that these groups really want to super serve. The Metro Chamber, our mission is to try to be the big tent. You can be gay or straight. You can be pro-green energy or anti-green energy. You can live in Oro Valley or Suarita, and you can be a part of what it is that we do. So I think I heard in your question, you know, do we have too many chambers? That's up to the people who support these organizations to decide. You know, we certainly have a working relationship with all of those groups, with Southern Arizona Leadership Council, with TRIO. So we cooperate wherever we possibly can with the trade associations, the business associations like the realtors and the home builders. So we all have a symbiotic relationship, but we need to bring a very, very special agenda to the table as the biggest chamber and as the big tent. We've got to have, by default, we've got to have that traditional chamber model working well for us, which includes advocacy, community improvement, helping small businesses survive, et cetera.
But do you find yourselves stepping on each other's toes? I mean, how do you – is that efficient? Is that the best way to do it?
Well, again, that's a decision for the people who invest in our organizations to make. Can you say that there's overlap between the mission of Group A and Group B? Yeah, there's probably some overlap in there. But I think if somebody took an analytical view at the agendas of each of these organizations, you'd say there's way more singularity and uniqueness of purpose than you would see overlap. I know to an outside observer, you know, it's probably one of the questions I would ask is, why do we need all these business groups? Well, each one of these business groups has a separate reason for being, a separate agenda that they're carrying out. And while there may be overlap, again, they're much more unique than might meet the eye.
Do we have a Rio Nuevo hangover that's clouding our judgment about downtown revitalization? Because it seems to me over the past 3 years, there have been hundreds of millions of dollars of investment in downtown. There's a new tower. There's a new mini tower going up now. There's new retail, new restaurants. The streetcars going in. The only thing we don't have is the same old argument we've been having for years about the convention center and whether to have a hotel or not.
Yeah.
But it seems like in terms of the business revitalization, it's going along pretty well. Does the business community see it that way?
Yes, all of those things that you just said are tremendous additions to our downtown, Mark, and we're glad that they're there. But again, I go back to the comment I made a little while ago. What do we want to be, and how do we realize our full potential? Is there a Rio Nuevo hangover? In my opinion, there's a huge Rio Nuevo hangover. I think the average citizen, myself included, looks at that and goes, how could that much money be that badly mismanaged? That's a horrible debacle of epic proportions. And so that, I think, points to and probably supports the notion that a lot of people have is that government is totally inefficient, can't be trusted, and I want to wash my hands with Rio Nuevo. I hope everything about Rio Nuevo goes away. Well, hold on a minute. Let's back up. What has happened has been horrible, no question about it. And a lot of money has been wasted or lost or is unaccounted for. We should go back and capture as much of that as we can. There should be accountability. If there was any criminal wrongdoing, I'm not saying there was. If there was any criminal wrongdoing, that should be vetted out. If other people should be held accountable outside of the boundaries of criminal activity, that should be vetted out and it should be publicized. But if we keep looking back at all of the areas where we might have stubbed our toe, and Rio Nuevo is more than stubbing your toe, I realize that, but we've had a bad experience with Rio Nuevo. That doesn't mean we can't have a good one going forward. So I don't know if it's a name change or what, but there's a lot that we can do with our downtown area. There are wonderful new tax incentive programs available. There's a new sense of trying to put together a little bit of a macro plan for downtown rather than just popping a building in here and popping a building in there. So I would say to anybody who wants to just flush what Rio Nuevo has been down the toilet with everything that it could be, that would be a mistake. I think we need to examine what went wrong, correct that, and we need to move on and get some good leadership on both the board side and the city side and march our downtown forward. We need a vibrant downtown urban core, just like every city the size of Tucson needs a vibrant downtown urban core. And if the city and the new Rio Nuevo board can work together to make that happen, I say go for it.
It seems like the business community is also betting on the streetcar because there's a lot of developments going along all along the streetcar line.
Yeah.
Do you see it that way as well? Do you think the streetcar actually, if people actually ride it, do you think it's going to work out?
Yeah, my jury's still out on the streetcar. I hope that it is the catalyst for and it can be part of the reason why people would want to come downtown, why they would want to see more of our downtown area. Instead of driving around looking for parking, just ride the streetcar to the University Main Gate area and to the other areas, which hopefully will become that arts, culture, entertainment, mixed use, vibrant downtown that I think we all aspire to. So I think the streetcar can clearly play a role in that. What causes me to be a little bit concerned is, have we created something that will now become a negative cash flow for us? Will we have to support this streetcar with funds that could have been used for other purposes, make up a purpose? putting in a new park, fixing more streets. If we have to have massive subsidies to support that streetcar, I'm going to say that we're going to look back someday and say it probably wasn't a good idea. What we're going to need to help support that streetcar is a lot of downtown business development along the streetcar line, and that's going to mean change, again, in the landscape of our downtown community where there's going to be more commercial have to go in and maybe some more high-rises to support that downtown urban style of living.
Great. I wanted to just find out, Mike, if there was anything. We're coming up to the end of the program. Wanted to say thank you for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Mark B. Evans from the TucsonCitizen.com and I will be joined by Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and Saurita Sun, and we will be back with you after this break.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. New York's police commissioner says officers had absolutely no choice but to open fire on a man who had just shot and killed a former co-worker this morning near the Empire State Building. Newly filed court records allege the man accused of opening fire in a Colorado movie theater told a classmate that he had wanted to kill people some 4 months before the shootings took place. Prosecutors made the claim today in a motion filed in Colorado. A senior U.S. military officer acknowledges that the military has been launching cyber attacks on opponents in Afghanistan. It's usually something the military doesn't talk about. On Wall Street, the Dow up 97 points, the NASDAQ is trading 19 points higher, and the S&P 500 index better by 9. More details at srnnews.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for the Reporters Roundtable. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson, an editorial writer at the Arizona Daily Star, and I'm joined today by Mark B. Evans, the administrator of TucsonCitizen.com, and Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saurita Sun. Just a quick reminder that to our listeners that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Learn more about Splendido over breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30 a.m. RSVP and say that you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show. RSVP to 762-4090. That's 762-4090. And find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Thanks, Mark and Dan, for being here today.
Okay, good to
be
here.
It's our pleasure, sir.
Dan, why don't you start us off with what the latest is with Rosemont.
Okay, there's a lot of little things going on here, so bear with me. Senator McCain was in Sierra Vista earlier this week and reiterated his support for the mine. We've always known that he backs it. He called it a light in a dismal economy. Now, he said it was a small light, but it was a light because it brings jobs, and he's glad it's here. Meanwhile, Representative Raul Grijalva on August 13th sent a letter to the Department of Agriculture suggesting that the environmental impact statement process needs to start over. He bases this on the fact that Rosemont recently told investors that there's a significantly higher amount of mineral reserves than previously thought. And Grijalva believes that means the mine plan of operations that Rosemont filed will change and needs a complete review. We'll see if that goes anywhere, but he has started that ball rolling. Finally, we've had down in Sarita, a town council member is taking a lot of heat. He suggested that the council needs to take another look at the mine. In 2007, the Sarita Town Council went on record as opposing Rosemont, but the council member, Gil Lusk, says 5 years can change a lot of things and we need another look at it. And he also doesn't want local businesses to lose out when Rosemont starts handing out contracts. So this has raised a lot of hackles down in Green Valley and Sarita, where support for the mine is very low.
Dan, there's a movie that's playing in town this week called Cyanide Beach, I think, by John Doherty.
Yeah.
It's about some horrible environmental disaster in Italy. But apparently it's connected to the company that owns Rosemont, and a lot of the Rosemont opponents are playing it up and asking people to see it. Are you planning to see it? You think it might move the needle at all?
Well, I've been living this for months because we have a reporter who has been on this story since January, and we posted the story just today at gvnews.com. You'll see it on all of the websites of WIC Southern Arizona newspapers. And I'm going to cut to the headline here, which is, could it happen here? And the answer is, no, based on the laws, based on the public input, based on things that how the United States operates versus the way Italy does, it couldn't happen here. It's an interesting tale because it basically gives you a look at what John Doherty believes the Rosemont and the Augusta Resource people are like, and that is that they would walk away from a mine that's in a lot of trouble. The fact is they inherited over in Sardinia a mine that was already in a heck of a lot of trouble.
Inherited through a merger?
Correct. They inherited it. They actually bought out somebody who had opened the mine, I think, back in 97. And then they actually sold off most of their interest. And so they were not the ones who walked away from it. They sold it to a place, I think it's called Buffalo Gold. And they, 14 months later, walked away from it. At that point, these people who are tied to Augusta had a 25% interest in the mine. But they had disbanded their board, and they did not have any role in the decision. Now, they should have done some stuff while there in Sardinia. There were some unkept promises, without a doubt. Could it happen at Rosemont? The answer really is no.
I wanted to touch on Rosemont, but also look forward a bit to Tuesday, which is the primary election. Rosemont and the proposed mine has been very prominent, especially in the Pima County Board of Supervisors race. And so what do you guys think about the upcoming primary?
Well, I think the District 4 race between Collins and Carroll has made a lot of noise because you've got a sitting incumbent. He's the Republican's Republican. I mean, to think that Ray Carroll would get a challenge from the right would have been extraordinary thinking just a year ago. And it's because they're not all that different politically. I mean, they both want low taxes. You know, they both want government out of people's lives, you know, and the like. It's become quite personal, and it's been quite a nasty race. But I don't know what. I just don't see Ray Carroll losing in a primary. I mean, he's got one of the best constituent services operations of all the supervisors. There's a lot of people that like him, even people who aren't Republicans that like the guy. I just don't see him losing that race.
I would agree with that. And Sean Collins certainly has been making big hay of this, that Ray is opposed to the mine. And Ray, of course, has been out there forever in opposition to it. I don't think that he has anything to worry about come Tuesday, but we'll see. If I can bring up one point related to this, I was helping leading some candidate forums down in Rio Rico last week, and we had the Congressional District 3 candidates there. This is Raul Grijalva's new district, and there are six candidates. There are three Democrats, two Republicans, and a Libertarian, and Raul was the only one of the six who opposed the mine. All five of the other candidates, which includes two Democrats and the Libertarian, they support Rosemont. And that was a little bit of a surprise out of those forums.
Wanted to get your thoughts on one of the races that Congressional District 2 between the two Democrats, Ron Barber and Matt Hines. Ron Barber won the special election back in June, and it seems like he's hardly had a chance to figure out where his office is in Washington before he's trying to hold on to his seat. Is there anything that's been surprising to you within, like, the ads that have been run, positions that the different candidates are taking? Mark, what do you think?
No, the thing that surprised me is that I think Barber, realizing that he was in a very evenly split district in New CD2 with a lot of independents, that he was going to have to run from the center, and one of the first couple of votes he took really irritated the liberal base. One of those was voting for the environmental exemptions within 100 miles of the border for all federal operations. And you know, I thought if Hines was going to have a chance in a primary election, that he needed to run to the left and hit Barber hard there. But that meant he's going to need a lot of money, and the money just hasn't flowed into his campaign, and he just doesn't seem to have gotten a whole lot of traction. And for the most part, most of those primary races are over already. The early ballots have been flocking in. They've started to trickle now. There's going to be some turnout on Tuesday, but I think for the most part that race is probably over, and I think Barber's going to be running against McSally in the general.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that. What was interesting to me about Matt Hines is I think that he was a more serious candidate than some people thought, and so I think he's positioned himself well for the future. I don't think he really had a chance here because Ron Barber is very good at what he does. I think, you know, and it was you jokingly said, you know, he's still trying to figure out where his office is, but I do think he hit the ground running, and I don't think he had ever stopped running from back when he was the aide to Gabrielle Giffords. So Ron would have been a very, very tough one to beat, but I think Matt Hines really brought up some good points, forced some good conversations, and really was serious. And so I appreciate him being out there and helping the process.
What do you think that says? We've talked a lot about you know, schisms and factions within the Republican Party locally and nationally, but what do you Does it say anything at all about the unity of the Democratic Party that Ron Barber even had a challenger in the primary?
No, because there was so much confusion about that CD8 race and who was going to be in and whether Barber was going to run or not and whether there was going to be a Gabriella Giffords-backed candidate in that Democratic primary. And so Hines kind of jumped in from the very beginning, and so did a bunch of other people. I think Steve Farley was looking at running for a while. And then when Barber said he was going to run and he had the backing of Giffords, everybody else jumped out, but Hines decided, you know what, I'll stay in and take my chances. And I would think there might be more divisions within the Democratic Party. We'd be seeing more divisions within the Democratic Party like we are in the Republican Party if Hines was getting more traction. And the fact that he's not, it tells me that I don't think that the Democrats are having quite the problem that the Republicans are having with the Tea Party.
And you mentioned that early voting has been just tremendous. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Pima County Elections has cut back on the number of polling places that they have. I know that we have on Tuesday.
Correct.
Because they're expecting, you know, so few people to go to the polls. I am one of those people who enjoys going and casting my vote. But fortunately, I paid attention to the postcard that they sent me, and I'll be going to a different place.
Even though it's not a general election.
It's not a general election. Right. Yeah,
it
I don't know.
Oops.
Yeah, I don't know how. Maybe it was old stationery. Who knows?
Right. Yeah.
But the on the
it was an intern.
Yeah, it was an intern. The we were speaking a little bit before about some of the Republican primaries and that sort of split between the more ideological hard right and the more what we used to be considered, you know, mainline Republicans. Mark, are there any races coming up in the primary that you think illustrate that?
Yeah, absolutely. The Board of Supervisors race in District 1, you've got a full mixture of candidates. You have kind of the traditional country club business Republican in Mike Helen. You've got the Tea Party candidate in Allie Miller. You've got an out-of-the-woodwork candidate, Stuart McDaniel, who's trying to – I think he's more libertarian. And then you've got Vic Williams, who was in the House, and he's kind of trying to border walk the line between almost Tea Party and kind of, you know, country club. And it's going to be interesting to see that race. I haven't really seen any polling data on that race. Mike Varney, who was just here from the Chamber of Commerce, we didn't say this on the air, but talking off the air, he said that the Chamber had endorsed Mike Helen in that race. We'll see whether that pulls any weight. I know Helen's getting quite a lot of the endorsements. But there's a lot of anger in the Republican Party, and a lot of Tea Party candidates have been knocking off traditional Republican candidates. Republican candidates who really don't have anything that sets them off from the Republican platform. I mean, they're all low tax, small government, anti-abortion kind of guys, but for some reason they just don't exude the anger that's out there like some of the Tea Party candidates are. And so the vehemence of the message seems to be the one that's getting the traction. So we'll see if Allie Miller or Vic Williams can pull it off. I think what most non-Republicans are looking for is Mike Helen, because he tends to be he seems to be more reasonable and rational in terms of understanding exactly how the county works, and the fact that if they don't win District 3, if Tanner Bell cannot beat Sharon Bronson, then you're going to be a minority candidate. It's going to be two Republicans against three Democrats, and you're going to be howling in the wind just like Ann Day and Ray Carroll have been for the last 15 years.
Yeah, what do you think, Dan?
You know, I'm going to look at this from Green Valley and Sarita point of view. The newly redrawn Legislative District 2, which stretches from southern Tucson all the way down to Nogales, the Republicans have just pretty much given it up. We are right now. We have three Republicans who represent the area, but they have been pushed out of the. They have been redistricted out. So we're going to have a whole new slate of people. The Republicans didn't even put anybody up against Linda Lopez in the Senate, which I think upset some people. But there's such a heavy favor of Democrats, registered Democrats in the area, that the Republicans have pretty much just given this one up. In the House race, there are two Democrats, Andrea D'Alessandro and Rosana Gabaldon. And one Republican who is Chris Ackerley, who's really more centrist than anything. And the Republicans have pretty much just been very uncharacteristically quiet in the Green Valley and Sarita areas. And they, I'm going to have phone calls for saying that, I can tell you. But but the fact is, Ackerley came in at the last minute, and they never did put anybody up against Linda Lopez. We're going to be living in a very, very different world in Green Valley and Sarita come January.
I will. One thing I will say for Vic Williams, and this is not an endorsement. The Arizona Daily Star doesn't endorse in primaries unless the race will be decided then. But just from watching Vic Williams's Facebook page, the man knows how to use a bumper sticker.
Right.
If this doesn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, this is turning out possibly to be a Facebook election. I think some of the ones that have embraced social media more than others, I think, are at least getting better traction with their bases.
Yeah, not here. Not in Green Valley.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. No.
I'd love to think it, but we'll get there one day. But right now they like the newspaper, and I like that.
Well, yes, that is always nice. Well, down in or around in the Tucson Unified School District, we've had a couple of, I guess you could call them town hall meetings, public meetings, low, sparsely attended gatherings of people who want to who are giving their 2 cents, literally, on how to try to get rid of the $17 million budget hole that TUSD is experiencing. We only have a short time left. So, Mark, what do you want to say about that?
TUSD voters, parents, other people who might be interested in that district, here's a newsflash for you. You got a $17 million budget hole, and the district wants your input on what to do about it. It's got a whole bunch of, you know, layoffs, smaller classes, closing schools, across-the-board pay cuts. These are all pretty drastic measures that they're looking at taking, and very few people are turning out to these public meetings. So when they finally do get around to making a decision, if you haven't given them your earful yet, it's going to be too late when the decision comes around, especially if you suddenly become surprised by the fact that you've got 45 kids in your kids' class next year because they decided to lay off teachers and increase school size. So, I think the district's going to have to do some measure of a combination, partial pay cuts or maybe staggered pay cuts depending on it, salary amounts, some school closures, and some layoffs. I don't see any other way around it. I mean, they're looking at a 9% across-the-board pay cut.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dan Chair of the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, and Mark B. Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com.
Nice job, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will be back in a short time with Matt Russell, the Culinary Cruiser, and Weekend Watch.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My Foot Doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
And that music signals the upcoming segment with Matt Russell, our weekend watch culinary cruiser. But first, I'd like to say that if you're looking ahead to the Labor Day weekend, which we are all very glad is coming up, we're glad to recommend Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and you'll find arts, hiking, birding, Silver City's historic downtown. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Make a wonderful and cool mountain weekend getaway. There's plenty of great places to stay, including the Little Toad Creek Inn and the Continental Divide RV Park. For more information, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. I wanted to say welcome. Matt, what do you have on tap for us today?
Oh, Sarah, doing a great job on the show. Always been a big fan of yours, and it's a delight to actually introduce you to some things that are going on this weekend. Starting tonight, Friday, it's a great way to launch into the weekend to enjoy the new opening of the new Total Wine at Park Place Mall, just opened yesterday, and it's the first of the company's what they call next generation format stores to open in the southwestern United States. Now get this, Sarah, iPads at the tasting bar to access an app that will recommend food and wine pairings. They're going to have complimentary Wi-Fi throughout the store, a brewery district featuring 12 rotating taps to fill your growlers with select suds, 8,000 wines, 3,000 spirits, and 2,500 beers. Sarah, this sounds like my kind of playground.
Wait, we don't even have to drink the wine anymore? We just have an app for that?
Someone suggested Total Wine is working on a new app that can literally beam the liquor right into your central nervous system.
Well, that would sort of nullify part of the joy of wine and drinking fine wine. What else do you have?
Yeah, Saturday is really a great time during the weekend to spice up the weekend. And up at La Encantada is the annual event designed for serious salsa and tequila fans, the Southern Arizona Salsa and Tequila Challenge. And it starts at 5 o'clock, live music and samples of local chefs' entries in the signature salsa challenge. More than 30 restaurants will be competing for the best salsa. And you can actually taste them all and vote for your favorite. Then at 6 o'clock, it's the Tequila Challenge, with more than 25 of the area's top mixologists all vying for the top tequila cocktail in Tucson. And if you're feeling adventurous, Sarah, you can taste them all and cast your vote. This event supports the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, and it's always one of our favorite events of the year.
Wow, that's an awful lot of tequila. I wonder if it starts to take, you know, like when you're in the perfume department at the store, everything sort of blends together. So it will be interesting to learn from some of the masters about tequila. So what do we have to do on Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday, rounding out the weekend, is really, I think, one of the most unique and enjoyable events for culinary enthusiasts across southern Arizona. It's the third annual Fiesta de la Fermín Paella Party over at Contigo near River and Campbell. It's all kicking off on Sunday at 4 p.m. Several large paellas are going to be prepared in the traditional way. Of course, that's outdoors over a wood and charcoal fire. And you'll be able to do all-you-can-eat paella for only $25. I hope they know I'm coming. All-you-can-eat paella for $25. And if you wear red, they tell me you're going to get a free glass of sangria to wash it all down. Now, Sarah, reservations are an absolute must. So I want your listeners to remember to call 299-1730 for the third annual Fiesta de la Fermín Paella Party at Contigo, May, and Cantante la Paella, Sarah.
Great. Thank you very much, Matt. Thanks for all the great info, and we will see you out and about this weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Want to say thank you once again for listening to the Buckmaster Show. This Buckmaster Show is proud to be presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It's a true continuing care retirement community, and you can learn more about Splendido over breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30 in the morning. RSVP and say you heard it on the Buckmaster Show. The number is 762-4090, and learn more at SplendidoTucson.com. And the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available for your home or business. Wanted to say thank you very much for listening. My name is Sarah Garrett Gasson with the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for the inimitable Bill Buckmaster. Thank you and have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.